Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, a dad, father of five, broadcasting from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner, another dad of five, in studio with me. We're a bunch of homeschoolers hanging out here in Colorado. And, folks, a lot of crazy things happening in the world around us. And we take the news, we filter it through a biblical worldview, and we draw conclusions. That's what we do on this radio show. And in the news, everybody knows what's going on. I think Americans are becoming more culturally literate, Dave. Guy walks into a mall with four hand grenades and two military assault rifles yelling, Allah Akbar. I think everybody knows what that means. Run.
It means don't jump to conclusions.
No, let
the authorities finish their investigations, and then we'll respond. But we shouldn't jump to conclusions just because somebody is well-armed shouting Muslim phrases.
Yeah, but I think the rest of us are, I'm talking about Americans, they're becoming more culturally literate. They're understanding what that means. Anytime somebody yells out, Allah Akbar, you're in trouble.
You should just run?
Run.
Because he might be Amish.
Run very fast. The media is having a really hard time, though, hiding the fact that the major who did the killings down in Texas was a Muslim. They're trying to hide it, but they're having a hard time hiding it, Dave. It's coming out all over the place. This guy, I mean, he was a radical. He was on the internet. He had a lot of friends. He, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And this alleged shooter seems to have been fairly committed to the Muslim faith.
Yes, but we're not gonna rush to judgment on this. It's not like he was acting stupidly and arrested somebody for breaking into a house.
It's so hard to be polytheistic. And our nation is pluralistic, folks. That's the religion that's supposed to be dominating. But really, effectively, it's hard to be a pluralistic nation. You can be pluralistic for a while. That is, you can have equal respect for all the gods for a while. And then you realize that some of the gods are meaner than others. That's for sure. So you wind up getting killed if you respect them too much. And again, I've said this before, a nation simply cannot afford to be entirely pluralistic. A guy walks into an INS office with a Quran in one hand and kill the infidel tattooed in the other. Folks, it's a really bad sign. You probably ought not to let that guy into your nation.
He could become a czar at the White House if you let him in.
Yeah. Pluralism. America is supposed to be a pluralist nation. For the time being, it will try to be pluralistic, but it will not be a very, very comfortable pluralistic nation because inevitably things sort of fall apart. America will be either a Christian nation or a Muslim nation in the end. And humanism, of course, is only apostate Christianity, and that's not going to last very long either. Meantime, folks out in the New York... I'm going to the next story. Meantime, New York Times has another interesting article about cross-dressing in high schools. It's happening all over the place. Cross-dressing Houston senior was sent home because his wig violated the school's dress code rule that the boy's hair may not be longer than the bottom of a regular shirt collar. October, officials at a high school in Cobb County, Georgia, sent a boy home with favored wigs, makeup, skinny jeans. Mississippi student's senior portrait was barred from her yearbook because she had posted in a tuxedo. This generation is really challenging the gender norms, as we grew up with, said Diane Eversoft, an Oakland psychologist who writes about gender. A lot of youth say they won't be bound by boys having to wear this or girls wearing that. For them, gender is a creative playing field. In February 2008, Lawrence King, an eighth grader from Oxnard, California, who occasionally wore high-heeled boots and makeup, was shot to death in class by another student. This kind of thing's happening all over America today. Crazy things happening, folks, as we look, peer into the zoo and see how their other half is living. We're finding some very, very edgy things happening in our society. Dave, of course, this is the edgy stuff, but my guess is just about every other high school in a metro area like Denver probably is dealing with this sort of issue. That is, boys and girls in different restrooms and wearing different kinds of clothes, and it's just your typical mess when you've got a society that's as confused as ours is. And, Dave, the Bible, of course, speaks to these sorts of things, but the Bible is a book that deals with absolute ethics, and that's what we find in Scripture. Leviticus is pretty clear that if a man dresses as a woman or a woman dresses as a man, that is an abomination to God. And so, you know, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, a Christian culture has recognized this as an important distinction. and important cultural norm. But all cultural norms are going out the window. Now, Dave, I haven't really seen too many Christian magazines or Christian books written on the issue of gender and clothing as applied to gender. And for this reason, I think that, again, Christianity is going to give way to all sorts of weird perversions, cannibalism and cross-dressing and transvestism and homosexuality and incest and these sorts of things, because they refuse to use, you know, books like Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus to inform their ethical standards.
Well, I think one ought not use their imagination where this might go, but they should realize that what is edgy today will become the norm of tomorrow. When you're in a downward spiral, what seems freakish today, it'll become commonplace, and you just give it some time.
And in a moment, on that note, I'm going to deal with what I would call the most shocking cartoon in the history of newspapers. Came out about 3 weeks ago, Bizarro. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, Dave. Comes out in the Denver Post. Bizarro had the most amazing cartoon. Really shocked my socks off. Be back in a moment, folks. This is Kevin Swanson, and we're going to talk about the most shocking cartoon in the history of newspapers next. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on, practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now. And back on the Generations broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson. Folks, a lot of strange things happening. Transvestism in the schools, in the high schools, junior highs. You've got crazy things happening, people getting shot by Muslims. Dave, these sorts of things not happening in the 1960s and 1970s. A lot of developments here. And, folks, it happens when we abandon a Christian worldview and a nation that no longer has the absolutes that we find in Scripture, and then basically say, hey, there are no absolutes. We're just living in a relativistic, materialistic world. And who cares? You know, people can do whatever they want to whoever they want. They can wear whatever they want, and they can be as confused sexually as they want to be. And it really doesn't matter because there are no absolutes. Ethical standards, that's basically the world we're in today. And Dave, as you said, every generation is getting more and more edgy. It's hard to know where we're headed in the next generation. The kind of satire that we use to mock our society and to basically extend reality to something strange will probably be reality in another 10, 20 years. And here's a cartoon that somebody handed me at church a couple of weeks ago. I think this came out towards the end of October. This is Bizarro. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy's cartoons. But here's a picture of a couple that are driving around their car. They got a little boy and a little girl in the back seat. The little boy says, "We're tired of TV, DVDs, and the Internet. What we want is a human sacrifice, Dad." I said, that's pretty much it, Dave. That's supposed to be funny. I took that seriously. I thought he was being serious.
Well, it is satire.
But is it satire?
Always has a foot in reality. Satire isn't funny if it doesn't reflect some part of reality. Let's face it, in the history of mankind, the games like football are pretty civilized compared to games like, oh, feeding Christians to the Lions. Although if you fed Christians to the Detroit Lions, I think they would win because the Lions are just that bad. But that's a different topic. People want to see more blood, more gore, more violence. We get reality TV. What is reality TV? The reality TV is the Roman Colosseum brought right to your living room. So I think it is satirical, and yet it reflects reality so well.
We're getting bored. We're getting bored. Bored of TV, DVDs, and the internet. Isn't it about time for a human sacrifice or something like that? I can imagine this, Dave, in the next 15, 20 years. I can imagine reality TV that chases somebody around an island somewhere and winds up shedding some innocent blood. I mean, I can see that kind of stuff. I can see some sports becoming increasingly violent, and there might be some bloodshed and maybe even some death in the process. And this, of course, would, I think, really boost the ratings of a lot of the sports programs. And, Dave, of course, right now society is somewhat consumed with the bread and games. Now, today it's not as much bread and games as Ritalin and games. But the Senate of Rome understood something very important, and that is the only way to keep the mob or the people under control is to keep their brains in jars, if possible, certainly absorbed in the games. And if they were in the games, some of the people would go down to the games for 12, 14, 16, 18 hours a day, some for 24 hours a day. They would be at the games all the time. It would be like television, except they didn't have television back then, but it was a way in which they could escape, and they could avoid any semblance, any concept of reality, and just live in a jar.
That's called ESPN, ESPN2, and Fox Sports. Men can watch sports literally around the clock 24 hours a day.
And Dave, please understand that the powers that be support this because they know that if you didn't have the games, if you don't have the Ritalin, if you didn't have the television sets and the internet and the iPods and the if they didn't have 1,000 escape routes out of reality, if you didn't have these guys' brains in jars, you would probably wind up with a fairly violent society. This is, I think, one of the reasons why violent crime right now is the lowest it's been since 1973, Dave. Do you know that? Violent crime is the lowest it's been since 1973. It's an AP story, came out last week. The rate for the past 2 years is the lowest since 1973, the first year in which such data was collected. Separate FBI crime data concluded violent crime dropped by 2.5% last year. So violent crime, folks, is much lower than it was in 1973. And so I think the reason is because we've got way more escape routes out of reality. We've got way more ways in which young men can be drugged. We've got 10 times the percentage of young men drugged with Ritalin than were in 1990. 10 times. Actually, I think it's close to 20 times. We interviewed a guy on that a couple months ago on this radio program. Folks, this is what we're doing with the men, and I think the powers that be understand you've got to do that. You've got to get their brains in jars. You've got to drug them. You've got to give them their games in order to keep them from unraveling society. Well, folks, now, what's my take on that? Personally, I think that violent crime is really state-sanctioned, but it's state-sanctioned in a sense where it's well-administered. And it's controlled violence, and that state-sanctioned controlled violence that I'm speaking of is abortion. You have violent crime occurring all the time. You have 1.5 million children being aborted every year in this country. But the fact is that the powers that be want to contain the violence. They understand the importance of the violence, but they've got to contain it. They'll contain it in make-believe games or maybe reality programs that bring together a coliseum and two or three guys get it, and the bloodthirst of the audience is basically consumed upon these few or two or three guys in the arena that are going through all this this violent activity, and that seems to satiate the desire for violence in the hearts of the people that watch it. Well, folks, again, entertainment art getting increasingly edgy. We gave you a couple of examples of that earlier on in the program. But Dave, you know, you've got programs right now that are far edgier on television than they were in the 1970s and 1980s. I don't know if you heard this program called Gossip Girl. It's on the CW network. It turns out I didn't even know about the CW network. There's a new network out there to join ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, and that's CW. And CW is presenting some of the more edgy material that's out there. And they got this little program for teeny boppin' kids. Apparently, this show started 2-3 years ago with 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old children. And these children are basically involved in a sexual orgy of sorts. And every program is some rendition of a sexual orgy, is just, you know, trading partners, and it's just this mess of a situation. Drugs and alcohol omnipresent in the show. They use some of the most horrific language you can imagine. The sex partners are going all over the place, and just basically a mess. There's a lot of pro-family organizations out there pretty concerned about Gossip Girl, because it's a program that's intended for teenage children. So you got, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that are watching this program. You remember Three's Company came out, what, 1970s, if I'm not mistaken? This is like Three's Company, except about 10 times more sexual than Three's Company ever was. Another trend that I want to bring up in connection with all of these developments, and the reason I'm bringing these things up, because I know that there are Christian children that are participating in these things, and they're taking on these forms of entertainment. Forms of entertainment that guys, unbelievers in 1970 would have found rather perverted and rather unacceptable. But today, you've got Christian children that participate in a lot of these media forms, and they have no idea what they're getting into. I think of anime, Dave, and anime is a form of art or entertainment that came over from Japan, and I'm pretty familiar with it because I grew up with manga and anime. We didn't really have too much of it, but we knew friends in Japan on mission field that would get into manga and this sorts of things. And I can, to this day, catch a few images in my mind that probably should not be there in my mind, because I had acquaintances and friends in the playgrounds in Japan that were getting into the manga and anime back in the 1970s. Well, today, of course, it's much more advanced. The forms are much more professional. And the Japanese form of expression and entertainment tends to be very intense, exaggerated. And when they get into pornography, Dave, you will get some of the most perverted forms, the absolutely most perverted forms of pornography through the Japanese anime. And most recently, we've got a huge influx of this stuff into America. Walt Disney's Spirited Away is a Japanese movie, grossed more than the Titanic, and it was Japanese animation. I don't know if you were aware of that particular thing, but anime presentations like Bleach or Naruto Shippuden or One Piece are examples of anime that's come over to America and are very, 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 very interesting. Bleach is an example of one that I find really, really popular among a lot of Americans, a lot of American teens, Christian teams are picking up on this Bleach thing. You probably haven't heard of any of this, but they glorify in things like homosexuality, witchcraft, spiritism. Of course, it's basically Shintoism. I grew up understanding the concept of Shintoism, but it's Bleach and the Japanese anime is a way in which that worldview is used and inculcated into the minds of modern Americans. And of course, it is the Eastern forms of metaphysics, and people are trained to think about metaphysics in certain ways, and the manga and the anime is training our young people, including our Christian young people, to think about supernaturalism. The Japanese are huge on supernaturalism. They believe in supernaturalism, but they don't believe that there is an ultimate God who is sovereign over that supernaturalism. Now, very few Christians actually believe that God is totally present, totally providentially sovereign in every moment. So they have a hard time with that metaphysic. They're barely there on that metaphysic. But they start getting this anime thing, and they get pretty excited about anime because it brings in the concept of supernaturalism. And of course, within the anime, you've got these Shinigami spirits that usher away the spirits of the dead into the the land of the spirits, and that of course is classical Shintoism, and the whole story of within the story of Bleach is basically put within that metaphysical construct. It's a Shintoistic metaphysical construct, but it's hugely popular today among our Christian teens.
Kevin, animation is one of the tools that those who are opposed to the kingdom of God have used, and I think they've used it since the 50s, in order to get the minds of children. Now, in this country, and I still say the most influential piece of media, the most forming event in many of the environmentalist lives was the movie Bambi. Now, we're trained when we see animation, if you're my age, that it's merry melodies, it's Looney Tunes, it's just good for a little laugh. But what happens in animation is the mind of young people are formed. They're given certain postulates through the stories that are being told that they live out as adults, whether it be that the hunter is bad and nature good, or whether it be the spiritism of Pocahontas, another Disney release, or whether it be the pornographic images coming from Japan. The guard of the parents who are trying to guard the hearts and minds of their children is let down when they see it looks like animation, and yet it ought to be up higher because this is the way, the doorway into the mind of the child.
Dave, you know, and even beyond that today, just the complete moral relativism is something that's obviously taught by the Eastern cults, because the Eastern religions certainly don't believe that there is an ultimate sovereign God who determines good and evil, but you've got the yin and the yang, the black and the white, the good force or the dark force and the light force. But the dark force is not necessarily an evil force. It's just you have these multiple forces that are constantly battling out between each other, and that's basically the old-fashioned Greek polytheism. Just reincarnated in Eastern cults and in the modern world where there is no standard. There is no ultimate standard in the anime. There's no standard of right and wrong within the anime. And within much of this entertainment, certainly the entertainment that comes from Japan, there are examples where there are demons that help priests to exorcise other demons out of people. Within these stories, within these manga anime stories. And so you have this complete moral relativism that runs throughout it. And for some reason, because of the artwork, the action and the exaggerated forms in the artwork, a lot of children are drawn into it as entertainment. But as you know, the entertainment, because they delight in it so much, because they absorb themselves into it so much, eventually really does form their worldview.
And Kevin, if you were to go to most evangelical Christians, most of them have a yin and a yang type worldview. They believe there's a battle between darkness and light. And in the end, light will win out, but it'll be a tough battle. You know, they're evenly matched. Satan and God are pretty even. This is a far cry different from the view of the Reformers, who said it is God's devil. The devil is God's devil. Speaking about Satan, one little word shall fell him. In other words, it only takes one word from God, and this battle is over. These aren't equally matched forces. We believe, as a society, by and large, that we have these two forces, and they're pretty equally matched in this drama called history. And we have failed miserably by allowing these kinds of Eastern thoughts to become the mainstream teaching of the evangelical church.
And Dave, what's amazing here is that people run through this escapistic form of art and entertainment in the games and the manga, the anime, and all the things we've been talking about, because they find the current reality unacceptable. And why is that? Why is the current reality unacceptable to the average person? Why do they constantly run to entertainment? Why do they soak themselves in this escapistic sci-fi, manga, anime stuff? Why? What's wrong with reality? Is reality that boring? Well, as it turns out, this escapistic literature eventually becomes boring, and they have to go to more and more intense forms of it. But reality, as it turns out, is not boring at all. Reality involves certainly good and evil. It involves the fact that we are sinners against a God who really exists. And we risk going to a hell that really exists, that really burns and burns forever, where people are tortured forever and ever. That's real. I mean, that will probably be the most real thing that some of these postmodern people that grew up in this escapistic culture are ever going to experience when God looks at them and says, depart from me, you cursed into eternal fire. Well, I'll tell you what, reality is real. God is real. His creation is real, and it's intense. And God is really sovereign, and God really brings judgment on nations. You crack the newspaper, that's not escapistic stuff. That's real stuff. That's real things that happen to real people. And therefore, you got to get right with this real God. You got to acknowledge that you have really sinned. You have really broken a real law against this real God. And you better get down on your knees and start acknowledging the reality of God and start engaging in the spiritual battle against the forces that are going to rip apart your soul. It's real out there. There's a reality here. It's time to wake up and turn off the television set and realize that we live in a real world. And we got to get real with it. And folks, the only way you're going to understand that real world is by checking out the real word of God. And getting his truth and start interpreting your reality around you by means of his word. And that's what we do every day on this program. We bring the word of God to bear on every area of life. And we define our reality, the real reality, by the real God who is real. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next.